passage, I hope people got it, that we'll just, instead of a main message, we'll just open this time for sharing short testimonies or inspirations that you'd have that you think would be helpful or edifying, and or you're welcome to pick more songs. Why don't we stand for a word of prayer before we start? Father in heaven, thank you for all your love and mercy to us every morning. We thank you, Father, for this beautiful morning place to gather and people to gather with. And we just pray for your spirit to be with us and to help us to be mindful of everything, mindful of you and everything we do and say. Pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct us both now as we share and all through our lives and all the choices we have to make. Help us to think of you in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. I might just start with a few thoughts I had this morning, and they really, really fit in with what Buddy shared this morning. Just kind of wanted to remind us of, hang on just a second. Wanted to remind us of something that I think it's just good for us to really be reminded of, and that is that Jesus is coming back. He will return. And though you know, sometimes we kind of start wondering, you know, how bad do things need to get, or when, or unless we really think God is not a keeper of his word or true to his promise, we hold fast to that it will happen. Just read a little passage here in 2 Peter. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at the time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So, yeah, I just want to remind us of that, and for those who are prepared and ready and waiting, this is encouraging. It's a message of hope. And for those who aren't, I would like for it to be a warning. And I think that's what we get out of this passage of Peter, both hope for those who are looking for a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells, and a severe warning for those who've invested all their there are things in this earth that's going to burn with fervent heat. This day is coming, and it's that the finality and the severity of it could not be compared with. I mean, the closest comparison we could have is to think about Noah's the flood that swept the earth in Noah's days. I don't know if people, I didn't know this till recently, but like newspapers, the headlines for newspapers are different sizes, like the font size is different. Sometimes it's just rather small, sometimes it's really big. I suppose nobody gets newspapers much anymore, but when I was growing up, my dad did. And I remember, let's see, I would have been maybe a teenager when the Persian Gulf War started, and I remember when the newspaper came that said war begins. It was amazingly huge. Like it covered just those two words, war begins, took up a quarter of the front page of the whole newspaper nearly, and I just found out recently that they have names for the different sizes, and the name for the largest font size of headlines, which is reserved for such things as like war begins or war ends or the moon landing or something like that, is called the Second Coming. That's the name of the font size, Second Coming. So anyway, this is nothing. You know, nothing. There is no more astounding news in the forecast, you might say. So let's be ready, and let's encourage one another with this, and hope for it with great hope. Yeah, that's all I have to share.
Yeah, I was going to make a comment for Brother Buddy's, but I said I prepared a speech for 4 minutes or so, and very good, story writer for children, and I appreciated Max's comments that that we're in a war. We're in a war with the evil one, and so it's, and that may deter a lot from the story, because you like happy endings. It is happy endings, but we're in a war, things like that. And so, okay, I'm combining this 4-minute devotion with two thoughts I've thought about, and one would be the apostles were arguing amongst themselves who's the greatest. They on two occasions at least it's mentioned, maybe more, at least two, and they're missing the point. Who's the greatest? And in 1 John chapter 4, 1 John talking about the assurance of salvation. And the assurance of salvation is many things. If we keep his commandments, have affection for the brothers, have a clear conscience, etc. There must be at least 7 or 8 things. But one of the last verses in that says that in the in 1 John is that those who love God cannot sin. Boy, talking about bursting the bubble for building up insurance, those who love God cannot sin. It's like, that sounds contradictory. And if we understand that 1 John was talking about Gnostics, and they would sin. The more you sin, the better you're off, Gnostics, and people denying that Christ came in the flesh. And they said that Simon the magician was the first Gnostic, or one of them, Simon the sorcerer, and he led a lot away, even went to Rome, and I think they have a statue of him today over in Rome, Simon the magician. How sad. But most of you, okay, I think Buddy and Leroy and Max and say Walter, if you say your children, and I've been doing, we did it, Sarah, we did it to Yolanda, but if you tell your children, my children cannot fight. I'm sure Buddy said that, and Max, my children cannot fight. Now, is that true? I mean, sometimes they will fight, but you exhort them. My children don't fight, will not fight. My children don't fight. But that is not the case. So it is with 1 John. Those who love God cannot sin. It's an exhortation. And it's just an exhortation. And there's one other point I was going to say with that. Well, even in the Sermon on the Mount, it talks about certain things we do. But okay, I'm going to just read a few verses. But in the book of Corinth, or the city of Corinth, when, in the book of Acts, right? Paul was going. He was thinking of going to Corinth, and all the sin that was there. He said, forget this, I'm not going to Corinth, this is so much wicked. But God appeared to him in a vision or in a voice, said, no, stay there, I have much people there in Corinth. And then in 2 Corinthians, he missed the point. And then in 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the Corinthians and saying, I've robbed other churches for your sake. You know, they missed the point with Paul. And so, okay, I just... Am I missing the point? Are you missing the point? I'm going to get to the point in a minute. But here's I'm going to just read, or just think about Corinth. Corinth and some of the problems they had. I'm a Paul, I'm a Peter, I'm Apollos. Okay, divisions. They had divisions. Sin. Sexual promiscuity. Guys living with his father's wife. Lawsuits with another. I'm going to take you to court. I'm going to take you, you know. Food sacrifice to idols. This was sacrifice to idol. Boy. Women not wearing the head covering. Woman teachers. Abuses of the love feast, like the rich and the poor. Well, I'm having a lot, but you're having, you know, you're not having much. Abuse of spiritual gifts. My gift is better than yours, contention. And when you think of those things, and Paul is writing to the Corinthians, they're all missing the point. Are you missing the point? Am I missing the point? Does anyone get the point of this message, what the point is in 1 Corinthians? I mentioned 10 things that are bad, and I'm going to read the points. Max, you're smiling. Here's the point. It's only a few verses. It is, of all those bad things, and this is the point for us. Nothing new. You know, a lot of preachers today want to have new stuff. This is old. This is nothing new. This is the point. Okay? Here's the point. It's 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read it. If I speak with tongues, this is American Standard Version, and of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm becoming a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith as to remove mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, if I give my body to be burned, but I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love envies not. Love wanteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave unseemly. Seeketh not its own. It's not provoked. Taketh not account of evil. Rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they'll be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I've become a man, I have put away my childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully as even also I was fully known. But now abide faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Let's continue to love one another firmly. That is not missing the mark. That is what we're here for. Of all those problems in Corinth, notice in that book, he puts the love chapter in there. That's what we need. And I love all you brethren, and let's grow in love. The Lord be magnified.
Trust. appreciate everything the brothers have shared this morning. Been blessed and edified by it. And I just maybe first of all want to take this opportunity to thank all the brothers and sisters here for their prayers in the last couple of weeks when I was sick. I have kind of a testimony and a question maybe that's come out of that time of being sick, or maybe directly afterwards. It was a few days after I got out of the hospital that a couple of brothers came to help on our house there, and Brother Leroy was one of them, and he made me think that morning when he greeted me. He said, it's good to see you walking among the living this morning. And said that if, earlier this week he thought he might have to bury my bones. And it was a really, really nice morning, just like this morning, just sun really bright shining, nice fall morning, and I was kind of enjoying it, you know, relishing the sound of the birds and everything, and just being alive. But when he said that, I thought about it, like just this thought went, yeah, I guess the alternative could be I could be buried in the ground beneath some cedar tree. And as the thought, this was all very brief, but as the thought just went through my mind, there was something very appealing about that thought to me. And I didn't think about it too much at the time, but later I was thinking about what it was, what it was that was appealing to me. And I realized that it was just, it seemed like it was rest. It just seemed like just rest, like. And I guess I've been convicted about that. I feel like I have not been resting in Christ the way that he wants us to. I'll read here in Matthew 11 what I'm thinking. Matthew 11 verse 28 and 29 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I guess I just feel like I should be able to find more rest, you know, just dying to the world and finding rest in Jesus than I have been of late. And so my question is, if any brothers care to share, like, how just ideas or ways that you find rest, in Christ, or that you remain in His rest, or because I feel like I've been there, but just haven't stayed. I guess I'm not sure if that makes sense.
Like, I feel like I'm more in the Lord's rest when I'm suffering. You know, like feeling like I need to stay up, lose sleep at night, and pray. And what Buddy shared today just is really true, just how you have to, even when we're in seasons of maybe being in a desert, just keep tilling up that ground. So, like, keep focusing on righteousness, you know, and and purity and holiness. And like the enemy, we know that Satan's warring against us, against the saints. And something came to my mind recently that was edifying. When Jesus said, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome the evil with good." And I think one way we can do that is by praying. In our alone time, if you have alone time, just singing songs to God, helping the homeless, and just keep breaking up that ground. But I do feel like if I'm living in pleasure, like whatever I, like what, in my mind, what I esteem pleasure to be, then like I feel like I'm not in the Lord's rest in a way, you know. Or if I'm just being lukewarm, I just, but then it, you know, a man has to establish in his heart, like, oh, I'm never going back to sin, no matter what. And then shortly after that, I realize, man, I'm going to suffer. Like, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And just having that mentality, just, I'm never going back to sin. I appreciate what Micah and Atlee shared. And I remember when I got converted, I was living with people I was working with. And when I stopped smoking marijuana with them, oh, they would just nag me. They were like, oh, come on. Like, but it was like, I couldn't. And I shared this at a Bible study when the last time I ate with my old boss that I worked for, which was also my best friend, he tried giving me a Corona, a beer, and I told him, I was like, I don't want it, man. And he was telling me, oh, you can have one more, like one won't hurt you. That's what he told me. But I was like, man, I recently read in James, and the scripture came to my mind that day, and it was, blessed is the man that endures temptation. And shortly after that, like within a couple of days, is when I left. And I find it interesting sometimes, like Micah said, not always in that maybe euphoric state with the brothers, but it's interesting that I just so happen to be led to a congregation where, like, you have brothers who left their families, brothers who left everything to follow Christ, you know. And I really appreciate you guys.
Actually, appreciate the you bringing that up, Norman, because I've kind of felt wore out over the last year, and I think being able to remember the battle that we're in. I always appreciated chapter 6 in Ephesians. That is finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and preparation, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. When I could remember to think of this life more as a battle and less of just going from day to day in any activity, then I felt like reinvigorated, brought back to life, when I could remember that there was a war going on. But there's a lot of times that the mundane parts of life just seem to strip that from me.
I've appreciated the things that have been shared so far. I wanted to add something. I wasn't sure what, but I wanted to contribute something. It's a great opportunity to say something edifying. Hopefully it'll be edifying. I was just considering when I was used the restroom there that the root system of a tree, I don't know if you saw these root systems, but they're pretty glorious. But one thing that's really interesting to me is that when they say that the time to plant trees is like now in the fall or the early winter, and then the root system for the tree, it spends the winter building a strong root system for the spring and the summer. And I just think that's edifying to consider how like this tree, it just looks dead, you know, in the wintertime. It's going through this really harsh weather, but it's doing this thing that's really needful for its survival. And sometimes it's like that with Christianity, like we're going through this really hard thing in life or whatever it is that we're going through, and it's really a struggle and a trial, and it seems like there's no glory on the outside of it, but what's taking place is this our root system getting rooted and grounded into the love of Christ. It's in those hard times, you know, that we really have to dig in. And I'm not much of a gardener or a farmer, but I've heard a little bit about tomatoes. Maybe they say if you water them too much, the root system stays to the top. But if you withdraw the water, you know, like you do it at a reasonable span of time, like the roots will go looking for water when there is no water. And so I think, you know, it's just kind of edifying to think like we're going through this really hard time in life. God is withdrawing the water, so to speak, but it causes us to dig deeper to find that water. And then in the end, we have this root system that's really strong. I'm finding myself really thankful to be here today, and I'm just thankful to be alive, and I think there's so many things in life right now to appreciate, and I don't always feel like that, so I'm really thankful that I feel that way today. God bless you all.
Yeah, that that question that Norman asked about rest kind of had my mind turning. I think for myself, I would say keeping my trust in God is my rest. And all these outward things that we face through this life can be distractions and cause us to lose that rest. And that's how I find it. I think especially, I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think with a big family, you get more tested in that area than if you had one or two. At least I tend to think that. I might be wrong. But maybe God gives us grace accordingly, just like He would and does whatever we have to go through. Maybe that's, again, a lack of faith, of not resting, that God doesn't make any mistakes. I think with what happened to Sarah, that makes it a real test to continue to believe that God doesn't make mistakes, we would tend to want to think that it just doesn't make sense. Somebody young, but I know situations where it makes even less sense what happens, and then it's just human reasoning. It doesn't have anything to do with trusting God, because it goes up and down the line. We could say, well, this is when somebody's 80 or 90 years old. Yeah, that makes sense that somebody could die, but that's not the truth of the matter. So I think when we rest, when I rest, it's when I trust God and believe that He's not making any mistakes, and that what He spoke is true, and not falter in that. When we falter, I was trying to connect some dots with the melon story, and then what Max spoke about, and so I'll just give a little thought on that. I'm not sure it's going to make sense, but God gave us this mind, and it's full of promise. It is full of the seed of God. It is created of God, and then He gave us this mind that is even more miraculous than. I think maybe more than the physical part. And like that little seed in that packet had the potential, had something in there that's able to grow a plant and then grow fruit off of that plant. Isn't that somewhat like we are? Like we have this package from God that is genetic. We have genetics in us that are straight from God, or His creation, however you want to look at it. And then He gave us this mind to tend this. So if I can make some dots here, across some lines. So when the plant, we in hope plant that there's this genetic thing going on, something scientists almost have a problem with. They cannot figure out life. They have not discovered life. They know things about it, but I don't think they know the essence of life, because it is not to be figured out. It's something that man cannot create. It's something he can't figure out. He can't understand it. It's something that maybe a scientist would say different about that, but that's what I understand. But then we take care of this seed. We take care of what God gave us, this genetic thing that we have ourselves, this mind we have. We take care of it. We plant it. We water it. We help each other. And as this plant grows, I was just thinking about enemies of fruit and enemies of about everything I want to grow. And it's just all kinds of things can go wrong. We strive to, as we learn, one year we plant too early and the frost gets it. One year we plant too late and we don't get our harvest. One time we watered too much, the next time we didn't get it watered in time. And like one time the bugs got in there and ate them up. And one time we have plenty of water and blight comes along and gets them. This is the natural battle we're fighting. This is the thing we're in that is making this battle. I think, I don't know who reminded me of it, but we're in a warfare. Maybe it was Robert. This is what it is to grow a plant. We're in a warfare to keep it alive. we keep ourselves alive, and we do that by faith. Somehow, people have come to trust that seed has this genetic thing in it that actually is so accurate and always there that people have come to trust it. Why can't we spiritually be that way, that we trust what God says? We just relax. We just believe it. This is my battle, and I too appreciate everything I've heard today. And I don't want to take up a lot of time, so hopefully I haven't taken too much. I thank God for all of you. I continue to admonish, encourage one another in the ways that pertain to eternal life and not get sidetracked with these natural things that we have.